Today's scripture lesson comes from the book of Ezekiel. It's an Old Testament prophet who was actually taken away from his homeland into the land of what we would know as modern Iraq or ancient Babylon. And it was there that he was held as a prisoner, and yet he started to have these dreams that looked like an acid trip next to a Doors album. I mean, like they were these crazy dreams he has, and he records the dreams, and this is one of them. So here, the scripture, as it comes to us from an Old Testament exiled prophet. An angel brought me to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming from underneath the threshold as a trickle from the temple towards the east, for the temple faced the east. The water was coming down from the south side of the temple, south of the altar. And then he brought me out of the north gate and led me around to the outside of the outer gate facing east. And there the water flowed south. The man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand and measured off 1,000 cubits. And then he led me to water that was ankle deep. Then he measured off 1,000 cubits and led me to water that was knee deep. Then 1,000 cubits led me to water that was now waist deep. And then he measured off 1,000. But now the river was raging and I could not cross it because it had risen and was deep enough to swim if anyone dared to swim. He asked me, "Son of man, can you see the river?" When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on either side, and he said to me, "The water flows towards the eastern regions and down into the dead lands where it enters into the Dead Sea. And there it empties into it, and the water becomes fresh, and that which was dead now teems with life. Swarms of living creatures will live where this water flows, and there will be large numbers of fish. And because the water flows there and makes the salt water fresh, so where any place this river touches, it shall bring life." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I was reading through the book of Ezekiel, and there's this man or this angel or messenger, this mysterious figure who shows up and he measures things all the time. I counted 202 verses. And you think, did he really do that? And I have issues, and you know that already. Over 5,000 words to my count of a man who simply counts cubits and inches and feet and is measuring off Jerusalem when Ezekiel doesn't even live in the damaged and broken city of Jerusalem any longer. One wonders, what in the world is such emphasis given in dreams to the measuring stick of an angel? That's a really good question, isn't it? I don't really know if I know the answer. I just thought I'd say it. I'm wondering if maybe, just maybe, could it be that God sees details and he gets the details of you? Maybe even the string of DNA that makes up the billions of character of you, God is on to the measuring places and the details of our life. Maybe it will be out of the rubble that he begins to build, because maybe it is that through painstaking, exact measuring, now he is offering hope to the movement of God that one day, truly one day, God will restore and rebuild and recreate and remodel and reform not only his large movement, but us as individuals. Maybe God still is seeing and measuring and taking note of details that are foreign to us. Nonetheless, he takes Ezekiel by the hand and leads him to a place where he notices a trickle of water coming from church. And then as he leaves church, it gets deeper, ankle, knee, waist, and then so deep that if one were to give oneself to this river, they could never go back again. They could never go to that place where they used to hide again. Oh God, I think today, help us not only to see this river, but to enter into it again. For I fear in this great nation, some days I fear that we are becoming older and deader. Sometimes I fear that we live in a saintless, poetless, soulless, passionless, shallow, heroless, self-indulgent, petty, and flabby place. Oh God, I think, as I wonder if this really is a river for me. I wonder, could I see that river myself? And do I have the guts to enter it? This river that Ezekiel seems to make plain, there is a river, a real river, which makes glad the cities of God. In other words, there is really a way home again, a way back to life again, a way to restore the pain and indecencies of our life. It begins with an almost ridiculous rhetorical question, can you see the river? I think, well, this guy's been off to prophet school. He's had a little seminary. I mean, he's got to be able to see things like this. When I was in seminary, there was a woman once who came with me to a pop machine. She was pushing buttons and putting in bills and just trying to get some caffeine. And a friend of ours came up. She asks the friend, "How are you doing?" The friend whispers out something like, "I just got word my mom has cancer." And my fellow seminary student says, "Oh, and so like what else is going on this weekend?" And sometimes we can hear but not hear. Sometimes we can see and not see. How many times have you been near a loved one, a child, a spouse, a grandparent who tells you something and a day or two later they say, "Don't you remember that I told you?" Well, we didn't remember it because we sometimes never even heard it to begin with. The people that we love the best, the people that are nearest to us, there is a river, is there not? There really is a river by which if we were to find it and jump, leap with abandon into it, we would know the flow of God's irrepressible presence in this world, for we would know then that exile or being away from our truest home is only temporary with Christ. There is a blessing, you guys. There is a rapid of benevolence. There is an ever-flowing, ever-giving, ever-widening, ever-life-giving, ever-refreshing, ever-generous, ever-open-handed love of Christ that's for us, that's for you today. Can you see it? Or do you only know it enough to put a toe into it? There really is a river. This is not just a pipe dream of God. This is not just a game that we play on Sunday. But the prophet seems to scream to us in his dreams that this river flows with destination and direction, sometimes curving and weaving and yet still in a well-defined channel that will bring us in the end to life and to home, our deepest and truest home. Frightens me sometimes. It frightens me this, that we have to be careful what we look for because we tend to find that which we look for. You're with me on this. I wonder sometimes about the things we look for. There was a pastor when I was a church bureaucrat in our district and I was in supervision of him. They had a charge conference, which means a church meeting of leaders to vote to put an expansion onto the church physically, to add onto the church. The vote was 136 positive to 2 negative. I was the guy that presided, you know, over the conference. I collected up the ballots with the names. I totaled them all up. I said, it's 136 to 2, and you only needed 51%, and it looks like a go. Praise God. The pastor said to me after the meeting, "Who are the two? I want to know," he said, "I want to know the names of the two." I said, "You're teasing, aren't you? You have like over 100 people who can't wait to do this. Build around the energy of that." And he said, "I'm telling you, I want to know the names of the two." Well, I was his boss. So I said, "I'm not going to give him up." I just went home, but he was determined to find out who the two were. And he did. And he was only there like one more year. You know what I mean? I remember our kids bringing home grade cards sometimes that had 3 A's and a B and a C. And the first question out of our mouth was this, the first question. "Tell me about that C." You know, sometimes I think we look for the wrong things. Sometimes I think in order to really find Christ at work in the world or to find goodness in people, we have to go on a search for. We have to look and spade around a little bit. Jesus promises this, all who seek find, but he seems to imply that only those who seek find. There is a danger in this, is there not? That we can find what we look for. Luis Aparicio, one of the greatest shortstops to ever play baseball, one of the longest streaks of errorless shortstopness. Is that a word? Anyhow, you get it. And one of the fewest errors, highest fielding percentages of anyone to play the position, said that he can remember almost the date, the city, the inning, and the situation where he occurred, where he was responsible for an error. He said, all the other thousands of fielded balls I don't remember. And then I think, why are we like this? Why are we like this? Why do we give our energy to the dark clouds and not the silver linings? Why is our true joy harder to find and access and hold on to than fear and anger and negativity? Why is my false self energized by being a victim and seeing problems and getting attention from negativity? Why, I wonder, when there are 200 kind comments and one barbed one in the middle of Sunday night, I tend to think of... Anyhow, not here, but in another place. Just saying this. We need to be really, really careful what we look for, because we find it. We really find it. There is a river, though. There is not just a river, but a river of muchness. And I love this word. It almost sounds like munchness, like eating. I mean, don't you think? It's a river that just is overflowing and teeming with hope and possibility and new life. Can you see it? Do you have more than a toe in it? Have you put yourself in the way of being blessed and finding every good and perfect thing that comes from heaven, as Paul would write in prison? We don't believe here that God is stingy and wants to hold back, that he's given us not only everything we have needed, but so much of what we have even wanted, save those things that will hurt and kill us. There is an abundance of grace in the hope of this river for you. So a number of weeks ago, I walked into Toys R Us with my granddaughter. She wanted some Legos. I said, do you have any Legos? They said, that's aisle 6, 7, and 8. I mean, have you seen Legos lately? I'm old school. I thought they had like a couple red bags and some squares and some small dingers and some rectangles, right? You know, blue, red, and yellow, and maybe some white. Holy smokes. Like pirates and Star Wars and Jedis and girl Legos, pink and light blue and fluffy. I mean, can you believe it? No kidding. The other day I went into a Wings place. Well, it wasn't the other day. It was a little while ago with my son. And I said, just give us some wings. And this girl with the ponytail's like, these old people make me tired. She said, well, we have lots of different kinds of wings. My son says, Dad, just you sit back and watch and let me handle this. Like, then the other day, I know people like who walk into DSW stores and they just ask for shoes and they get lost and overwhelmed and
keep it going
and addictive and other weird behaviors. So I'm thinking, what if the church had realized that there was a river that had more grace than Toys R Us has Legos? What if we believed with all of our hearts that we're in better shape to disperse goodness and tenderness to people than Winking Lizard is wings? What if people came here needing to be heard and listened to and just needed the grace note of a tender ear with hearts that could hear it? What if there were people who came here with cancer and needed to know that people care? What if there were people who came here in thought life that struggled and wondered, if they knew what I was thinking, they probably wouldn't want me here, and we could say, but we have grace for that. We have shelves and barrels and specific graces for all that ills the troubles of human life. I love that one day we are promised, those of you who love Jesus, as you yield and acquiesce yourself to this river and float in its stream, you will one day hang in peace. You will float in God's kindness. You will bathe in his love. You will be washed in his forgiveness. You will wade in his mercy. Why not today? Can you see it? Can you really see it, that there is a river? I love that the river flows out of the building, away from church. It does. It begins there, but it goes to the hood. Fruit trees of all kinds come up on the banks, and dead things become alive out there because something happened not just here, but here. Sometimes people think that church is like holy, you know, and then out there it's not. Sometimes, sorry, Mom, Dad, they don't know the family I was raised in, and when they say bad words around me, they say, oh, sorry, I shouldn't talk like that around the preacher because, you know, like, I'm holy, and they're not. Sometimes I think we have it all crazy-making in church because this is not a holy place so much it is a reminder that everything is holy. We do liturgy here so that we can remember that every word we speak can become liturgy. We sing hymns here of holy nature to remind us that every song that ever touched our hearts is holy. We come here to be awakened to the fact that God is not just present here, but he's out there aching for us to show his image and his reflection, his picture. This is why we're wanting to start camps for abused children, because there is a river that can bless their lives. This is why we want to tutor kids at risk in our own schools, because we believe there is a river. This is why we train new Stephen ministers so they can connect to other people who need individual tenderness and care, because there is a river. This is why doctors and lawyers and teachers and custodians and administrative workers gather here and celebrate faith, because we believe, we really believe that out there we can bring this river of healing. I'll close with this quick story and then a comment, and then, you okay? Well, Fred Craddock, a wonderful pastor, preacher, teacher, seminary professor, was one time on a plane, and he met a doctor who worked for Princeton Medical School, and he was actually, this doctor had just finished this enormous survey of how people recover in recovery rooms from surgery. Really interesting study that if people are coming out of anesthesia and they're around nurses and doctors that are negative and grumpy and rushed and mean-spirited and tired and worn out, that their recovery process is literally 50% slower than those who were tested in areas where people were trained or faking, that they were happy, positive, upbeat, gracious, and caring. The doctor went on and on about the study. He was really passionate about it, and Fred listened in deeply, and then Fred said, I am so grateful you shared that with me. He said, that is so relevant and pertinent and powerful. And the guy said, oh, are you a doctor? He said, no, I'm a pastor. But I figured if it could work in surgery, maybe it could work in a sanctuary. I just wanted to remind you today, not that you didn't already know, that there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Can you see it? Have you done more than put your toe in it? Have you offered yourself into it in relationship, in small groups, in meaningful ministry, in ways that would risk something that's a little frightening to say, oh my gosh, lest grace comes and carries me along this river, I can't swim this. Jesus promised, behold, one day I will make all things new. He promises this kingdom is relentless, inescapable, inevitable, and unshakable. God seems to indicate through his saints and prophets and teachers that if you have the real thing, I mean, if you really have the real thing and are not just playing some plastic Jesus game, then there is something in you that is powerful and life-giving, in which to us one day the nations will come and justice will roll down like water, songs will be sung, and love will win. Christ will rule, our pride will be melted, our sins will be burned, and eternal love will reveal its deepest secret in us. This is our hope. Would you pray with me? God, we trust you that if this morning we were to hold our nose and jump into a deep and meaningful relationship with you, we would know the inevitable, unstoppable, relentless river of your love, and it would grow and bubble and teem with life to the end of this life and then deeply beyond in Christ. Amen.